Just take an excursion past the magazine rack in your favorite store, and you'll see all kinds of women's magazine covers touting tips for beauty, things you can slather on your skin or shampoo into your hair to make you prettier. Today's guest works in that field, but these days she's a lot less interested in the stuff we put on the outside than in what goes inside, through the mouth. Jolene Hart's book is called Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty, Inside and Out. Jolene Hart was a journalist and beauty editor with work published in a bunch of places like InStyle, Allure, People Magazine, and more. In other words, she spent a lot of time researching beauty projects and regimens. Now she is a beauty and health coach and the creator of BeautyIsWellness.com. Jolene Hart, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeffrey. That was a nice intro. I appreciate it.
Sure. I see that you're certified by the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. Those are intriguing. Tell us about those.
Yes, that was the place I went after I left my position as a beauty editor to really find a way to connect nutrition and beauty. And being certified as a health coach was a wonderful way for me to do that. It's given me a wonderful platform to work with a lot of men and women on creating a beauty diet that helps you look and feel good every day. So not just, you know, the day you happen to wake up okay, really making it a sustainable lifestyle. So that co-certification was really important for me, enabling me to do that.
I get the sense from the intro in the book that the more you researched beauty products yourself, the uglier you felt.
Yeah, it was frustrating. I found a lot of great concealers during my years of beauty. Into hundreds of products, I could never find one that was to solve my issues. And you're right, it always made me feel more and more inadequate that there was something wrong with me because I had been assured so many times that there was no connection between my diet and my skin. And yet there is this force in the back of my head saying that's definitely not true. So products, you're right, it makes me feel inadequate.
Jolene, I need to tell you that because of the, it looks like you're doing voice over an internet protocol phone, is breaking up just a little bit. It's manageable at the moment. We'll call you back during the break, but at the moment we just need to forge ahead. But the issue is that there's just so much stuff that you could put on the outside of your body and you realize that none of it really does the trick, ultimately.
Absolutely.
You still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So was there a specific moment or series of events that recast your thinking?
I grew up with the thinking that food was medicine, and I really got away from that during my teenage years and my 20s, and I had been a vegetarian and gotten into sort of what I call a junk food vegetarian phase, where a lot of processed foods were the core of my diet, and I really thought that I was eating healthy, and I guess the realization of that moment for me was just realizing I knew all along where the heart of the issue was, and yet I had gone away from it. So it was really just kind of going back to where I had come from.
When you write about the people who read your book needing to find their healthy vanity, what does that mean?
Health vanity is just the desire to look and feel your best and to show that best self to the world. And we stand at such a negative quality of the spectrum, neglecting our appearance, and it has unwanted effects on our emotional and our physical health. So vanity is just you being driven to improve your diet and lifestyle in order to look and feel your best, not being vain, but wanting to be healthy and feel good.
All right. So again, it's not feeling like, boy, I'm really looking like great stuff here.
I deserve this and I want to be my best self. And I think that's such an important quality for women and men alike.
All right. It's interesting. You give an example of the houseplant neglected on the windowsill as a comparison here.
Right. It's not as if when you haven't been eating this way for years that your beauty has it's obviously not blooming to its fullest, but it hasn't, like I say with the houseplant, it hasn't died and it may be wilted, but it just needs those nutrients and that care to bloom all over again the next season. So wherever you are in your diet and you feel like you've gone too far in one direction, it's really easy to come back. And every bite you take is a chance for you to change that. And that's what I want my readers to understand.
In the houseplant example, too, there were some fairly graphic descriptions of like the leaves are going to look a little brown and splotchy if you leave them on the windowsill and don't water and everything. So that is the real case here. You want to make sure that you get the nutrition in that works.
And my skin was certainly splotchy for a long time, and it really is amazing how your body can heal. I mean, on a molecular level, the food you are giving yourself and feeding yourself is breaking down to become your body. So you are repairing and defending and detoxing with every bite you take. And so make that fuel the best fuel it can be.
All right, let me walk up to the break here just a little bit early and remind listeners who we're talking to and give Reed a chance to reestablish the phone connection with you. So we'll come back and talk more with Jolene Hart. She has CHC and AADP after her name. Her book is Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. This is a discussion you can join on the Jefferson Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760 and 541-552-6782 and by email jx@jeffnet.org. We'll reestablish the connection and speak perhaps more effectively with Jolene Hart about Eat Pretty when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Jolene Hart. She was a journalist and beauty editor and was talking generally about the stuff outside the body and then turned her attention to the stuff that goes into the body. Her book is called Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. You can join this discussion on the Exchange anywhere in our listening area at 800-838-3760. In Jackson and Josephine counties, 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jolene, I guess we've repaired the phone connection. You're going to sound a little better this time.
I hope so. I apologize.
There you go. No, not your fault at all. It's one of the things we find as we go further into the technological boom is that as we get things
right.
Like voice over internet protocol, we get stranger phone calls. But no, you sound great now. So
great.
A couple of warnings that you deliver at the beginning of the book, and among them, how much time and patience are required as people are moving into this process if they choose to go this way?
Well, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's not like applying concealer to your skin and being able to wash it off at the end of the day. I mean, this is really, it's really changing your diet and your lifestyle. But I find that when you do this, I mean, you realize that you have an opportunity 3 times a day to pamper yourself from the inside out in the way that you do with products, but this is just so much more meaningful for your body. So it's not going to be a change overnight. I mean, your skin, you may see a difference in just a week or two. Your skin is very quick to repair itself, but things like your hair and your nails and certainly your weight, it can take several months. So if this is something that you're committed to and that you're starting to see and feel a difference, stick to it because the rewards are even greater if you can continue.
I think you're probably the first person to ever use the word pamper in this context because it usually indicates exterior things like spa treatments or pedicures or any one of a number of things that happen to the outside of the body. But pampering can be done with food.
Absolutely. And that's really the message of Eat Pretty is that you can treat yourself so well in the way you would at a spa. And you can get that spa glow, you know, by eating in a certain fashion. And that's what we talk about in the book. And I really do feel that it's pampering yourself by treating yourself to the best and the highest quality ingredients.
Well, by making this work for yourself and then obviously translating it to something that works for lots of people through the delivery of this book, I mean, did you end up recalibrating in some respects, Jolene, your concept of what constitutes beauty?
I think so. And I think everyone has a little bit of a different concept of what pretty is. And, you know, it is much further beyond what we see on the outside. It has so much to do with how you feel. And that's something that you can fake very easily, but only you yourself are going to know day to day how you feel. So that's why this is such a personal journey for each person that opens Eat Pretty and starts creating their lifestyle. I mean, we can see on the outside how you look, but you are the only one who can tell us, really, listen to your body, how you're feeling. And I think that's really important to remember.
So it really is sort of a design your own plan thing. And this is not a book of like, do this exactly like this every
right.
day.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, everyone is an individual. And I think as I was, you know, going into school as a health coach, we talk about bio-individuality and how everyone's body comes from a different place, is a little different. And it's not possible for me to completely understand what your body needs. So it's your job to become really great at tuning in and listening to how your body reacts to certain things, and also seeing in the mirror, you know, what the reactions are.
All right. You point out that obviously we're under some attack from the elements in a sense. And when you write about the way that we are bombarded by UV, it really does sound like a constant attack. But the point is to balance what the elements take out with what you put in. And you give us this whole range of things called beauty betrayers. What are those?
Right. Beauty betrayers are the foods that, although they seem to taste great and a lot of us love to have them in our diets, they're just not serving us well. So they're not, maybe they're creating inflammation in the body. Maybe they are just a little bit low or void in the nutrients that build beauty. You know, maybe they cause cravings or they promote weight gain. These are the foods that are not helping us out in the journey to look and feel our best. So some of those foods are, for example, caffeine, alcohol, processed foods, refined sugars, certain foods like grilled or overcooked meals, which can promote the production of wrinkles in the body. And I say in the book, you know, it's not all or nothing. It's not that you have to eliminate every single one of these foods from your diet, but it really helps to understand them and understand what they're doing as you eat them, what they're doing inside your body. So like you said, you can balance those foods and balance the attacks on your body and make what you're putting inside healing rather than also another attack.
Jolene Hart, I have this image of people looking at those first two items, caffeine and alcohol, and going, ah, geez, I'm off this train. Have you got any emails from anybody?
It's true. And like I said, it's all about balance because I don't want anyone to ever eliminate anything 100% because then, of course, you're going to crave it like you've never craved it before. So just know that after maybe you've had some caffeine and alcohol, you have the foods in this book that are going to help you to balance that out and create more alkalinity in your diet to balance that acidity and to help you to regain your glow, because that's really something that you want to sustain, not the feeling of the caffeine and alcohol.
The reference to caffeine and belly fat is curious and fleeting. What happens with belly fat? I mean, does caffeine actually cause that?
Well, I mean, it's the cortisol that causes the storage of belly fat. So the caffeine in your body can promote the production of cortisol and it's sort of a trigger. So it's not a direct link, but there is a correlation there. So it's something to think about. And caffeine in particular, like I said, is very acidic, and it can also decrease the amount of certain beauty minerals that you absorb from the other foods in your diet. So those are all considerations when you think about how much of a role you want caffeine to have in your diet.
And for our listeners who think that cortisol sounds familiar, yes, we've talked about it before. That is the stress hormone, as a lot of doctors call it. Let us take a call. We have Bill in Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jolene Hart. She's the author of Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty, Inside and Out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'd like a question as far as eating fermented foods for your health and everything else. My doctor told me I had to drink a lot of cranberry juice and pomegranate juice for urinary tract or prostate or whatever, and just like all Americans, I don't need that much juice because it contains so much sugar or fructose, and people drink way too much of that thinking they're helping their kids out when they're feeding them nothing but sugar. But I recently started setting like a half-gallon mix of water and cranberry juice out for 5 days, which could breathe with a cheesecloth off the top, and it's develops, eats up the sugar and turns a little bit into alcohol, probably less than 2%, which is not that bad for somebody. But I believe it's really helping my stomach as far as putting in the right amount of bacteria to the fungus ratio, which I believe 90% of the people in the United States have a terrible ratio, way too much fungus in their gut compared to bacteria. And by eating fermented foods, it has that. And since I've been drinking this juice, I've noticed I've been healthier and my fingernails are better. And, you know, that's a good sign of your health. And I just wonder your opinion on that.
The cranberry juice and water alone?
No, yeah, I 2 ounces of cranberry juice and 2 ounces of pure pomegranate juice, all organic. And then I put it in a pint jar with the rest of water. And I let that ferment, that ratio basically, you make it ferment for 5 days. And just outside, I mean, just on top of the refrigerator. And then I put it in the refrigerator in different jars and drink one each day. And I'm getting the ratio I'm supposed to from the doctor. He said two ounces of pomegranate and 2 ounces of cranberry. So mixed with water, you know, how much. But it's really helped me. So I just wonder her opinion on that.
All right, fermented foods generally and this in specific. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Jolene?
Thank you. Bill, I think you're really on to something with fermented foods there. I mean, I'm not sure about that recipe in particular, but fermented foods are absolutely at the core of a beautifying diet and one that's going to promote beauty for years because, like you said, that gut health is something that many of us are so deficient in. So if you could get a little bit of fermented foods in your diet every day, whether it's from a brined pickle or from sauerkraut or kimchi or tempeh, I mean, that's just incredible, and I recommend it in the book. It does so much for your beauty on the outside. You really wouldn't believe just tuning up your gut health. It helps you, you know, to break down and assimilate the nutrients in the foods that you're getting so much better and so much cleaner. And when you process your waste cleaner, your skin doesn't have to pick up the slack. And you don't see all of those skin reactions coming out day to day, which is really important. And for so many people who have dealt with issues like acne, antibiotics are a first line of defense. And just myself, I had been on antibiotics for 2 years while I was trying to overcome my acne. And that in particular had done such damage to my gut health. So I think all of us can use those fermented foods. And I love that you're already seeing results from it. Because it is so powerful, and not just from a probiotic pill, but those live, active foods that have billions of more beneficial bacteria, those are really the way to go.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And we can take other calls here for Jolene Hart. She is the author of Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. Phone number is here at the Exchange, 800-838-3760 across the region. In the Rogue Valley of Jackson and Josephine counties, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. There is a reference to one thing to avoid in here that is not actually any kind of nutrient that anybody would take in deliberately, but it's bisphenol A or BPA. Is it getting easier to avoid canned foods that are lined with BPA?
I think it absolutely is, and we're getting more aware of it. And there are more of the usual canned foods are now coming in Tetra packs and containers that are a little bit safer. And just for your listeners who are following along, BPA is just one of those endocrine disruptors in your body that can throw off the delicate hormone balance. And hormones are just so important to keep in balance for your beauty and longevity. So we don't want to have any external factors in there, whether it's from chemicals or products or BPA that are going to mess with those.
All right. Other things to avoid here, at least not to get in large amounts, dairy, fried foods, grilled and overcooked foods, and conventional meats. I'm curious about the term conventional. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, even though I don't really recommend a meat-heavy diet, that I understand that some of my readers do eat meat. So when they choose to do so, I want to make sure that they choose the cleanest source. So eating the conventional meats and dairy, you find that there are, like I was speaking of just a moment ago, those added hormones that can throw off our own hormone balance. So it's really important to get those out of your diet. It can really affect you in the long run. Even though that you're getting such small doses, it really does add up over time. So if you're going to have those meats, make sure that the sources are organic and grass-fed and make sure they're the highest quality and you know where they're coming from.
And then also you recommend avoiding gluten, pesticide-sprayed produce, sugar, soda. I mean, this is just plain healthy eating, it seems like, is a good key to the beauty regimen you're talking about.
Absolutely. But it's really nice to know why all of these foods directly impact your beauty. And I think it's pretty compelling for a lot of people who have always thought, yeah, I'll probably kick soda. I should maybe cut down on sugar, to read exactly why those things are harmful for your skin and how that they can see a difference in the mirror if they finally resolve to get rid of those things.
Were there some in particular, Jolene, that made you go, oh my God, I've been eating that for a long time and it does what to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think sugar is a scary one. I think just knowing that it can form what are called advanced glycation end products in your body, and the abbreviation for those is AGEs, which is kind of ironic. It really does speed up aging in your body. It forms stiff bonds between the collagen and your skin that are going to promote wrinkling in your skin, so and also browning in your skin. Just knowing that, you know, sugar doesn't make me feel great anyway, but knowing that it was doing those things on the surface and speeding up inflammation and maybe contributing to all of my blemishes made me just want to ditch it even more.
Okay, and then we get to free radicals in the book. We love discussing these. They just sound so great. Free radicals, what are they and why do we want to avoid them?
So free radicals are, I mean, we get them from all over. We get them from the environment. We get them from all the aging factors in our lives, and we really want to avoid them because they're going to steal from other molecules in your body, and they're going to speed up the aging process. So in order to balance that out, we need those antioxidants in our body to neutralize them and to make sure that they don't do the damage to us that is so easily to happen day to day in our lives. So just making sure that we get those antioxidants is really the core of a beauty diet. It's something that we all know at this point because antioxidants are such a buzzword, and we really do stress that in the book.
All right. And you mentioned oxidative stress in the book, but then in this same section of the effects of poor diet, mitochondrial burnout, how does that work on us?
So oxidative stress can lead to something called mitochondrial burnout. Mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells. And so it's sort of pumping oxygen and energy throughout our body. And when they slow down, that's going to speed up the rate at which we're aging. So we want to keep them from burning out, as I say. And there are many specific foods that I speak to in the book that have nutrients like glutathione, vitamin C, CoQ10 that can help help your mitochondria from burning out earlier than they should.
So I have to ask about, again, how fast the change came for you, whether, for example, you had a whole shelf full of stuff in the bathroom of hair and skin products and what have you, and if you swept them all straight into the trash, or if you just used them up or just let them sit there on the shelf for a long time.
Well, you know, my start was actually cleaning out the products that I thought had potentially toxic ingredients. So for me, those products went straight in the trash because I knew that not only were they not solving my problems, they maybe were causing issues in my body. And for the rest of my products, I still love using beauty products, but I also love being able to go makeup free and to feel like I can show my bare skin and not be ashamed of it, like we were talking about earlier. So I never really have gone completely product free, and I'm sure I never will. But seeing those changes for me was a little bit of a slow path because I didn't have a guide like this to show me exactly what to do. It was a lot of trial and error. And, you know, over the course of a year or two, it really all happened for me.
You mentioned not having a guide like this. I have to wonder, given some of the places that you've written articles for, like InStyle and Allure and People magazine, what the response was from people at those publications. If when you said, you know, we really need to talk about eating well, if they went, what? Or if they were supportive of you.
Well, I mean, at this point, they have been supportive of my book, which is wonderful. I mean, my ePretty was featured in InStyle last month, which is a nice way to come full circle for me. And I do think that all of these editors are very interested, especially now, in how health impacts our beauty. But maybe, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago when I was writing there, they weren't. And you know, a lot of the beauty industry has to do with advertising dollars, too, and there aren't many people taking out ads for, you know, Swiss chard and wild salmon. So this is information that we need to balance all of those products. And we might not ever really see them fully in all the pages of these magazines, but I do know that editors are absolutely interested because, hey, this impacts their themselves and their skin as well.
You do get right down to the molecular level. You get right down to DNA. So what can we do for our genes? What effect do we have on our genes by eating pretty?
Well, it's really interesting. I think that we're going to find out so much more about this topic in the years to come. But we do know that food has the ability to turn on and turn off the way our genes and our DNA are acting. So we may not know exactly right now which foods are going to turn on the genes for faster collagen production, but I think that in the years to come, we are going to find those things out. So just for right now, building the sort of beautifying, fresh, whole anti-inflammatory diet is really good insurance for making sure our gene health is, you know, really tip-top in the years to come.
I should point out that this book ranges very far afield from for example, from the DNA level we're talking about here and what the effect is on the genes up to in recipes in ways in which to prepare these foods. And so when we get into that whole aspect of, okay, I know this is good for me, how much trial and error was there for you specifically, Jolene? I mean, was there, okay, I know this is good for me, but yeah, I can't stand the taste of this.
I think for me, just starting to cook with whole foods was really what I needed to do in terms of making peace with all those ingredients. And I never really had that reaction to a lot of these foods because there are so many wonderful ways to prepare them. And when you eat them fresh, you know, you discover their taste. If they're not something that you love, you don't need to cook with them every day, but you find the ingredients that you do love. And you start to make meals that, like we talked about earlier, are individual to you and customized to your beauty diet, not your neighbor's. And so you pick and choose the foods that work best for you.
So, are you generally good about this? Do you tend to stay in the eat pretty wagon, or do you sometimes cheat?
Oh, I absolutely cheat. I think refined sugar is the hardest thing. But, you know, when I do, I always regret it because I find that I don't feel great, and I see the reaction in my skin and my body, you know, inevitably. And it's not something that I'm happy I did, but at least I know how to balance it and to put myself back on track. And it's not something that I ever am upset that I have done. It's just part of the process.
Jolene Hart, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is Eat Pretty. We'll come back and talk more about the book and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Jolene Hart. She's a beauty and health coach and the creator of BeautyIsWellness.com. After a bunch of years as a writer and editor, putting out pieces like great products to use for your skin and hair for magazines you probably know well, she switched her focus to what we put inside of ourselves instead. Her book is called Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. And you can join us as we talk about the concepts in the book, ranging from genetic changes to recipes. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. We have talked about the things to avoid, not so much about the things to include thus far. You do start with the basic segments of carbs, fats, and proteins. On carbs, you say that low-carb diets can lead us astray. How's that?
Well, I think if we lump all carbs into the same category, then we're not really understanding exactly what we're trying to avoid. So there are many, many beautifying carbohydrates, and we want to make sure we get those legumes, those organic vegetables and fruits and the gluten-free grains, because they have so many wonderful beauty nutrients. We don't want to say that just because they're carbs, we have to eliminate them.
You do give some praise for fats, which is a little surprising. Why?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, not only do we need fats to absorb fat-soluble nutrients in our diet, we need them to produce hormones. They can be anti-inflammatory, and they're also so nourishing to our skin, our scalp, and our hair. They're wonderful fuel, especially those clean-burning fats like avocado and coconut oil. And if we're missing those in our diets, then our skin is absolutely going to suffer.
You break down the larger categories of carbs, fats, and proteins, obviously, into much smaller chunks here. And there's a very detailed list of vitamins and nutrients, which begs the question, does eating pretty cost a lot of money?
I don't think so. I mean, if eating fresh whole foods costs a lot of money, then yes. But I don't think that's true at all. I think if you're eating what's in season, then those foods, I think, should be more affordable to you. And I think, you know, processed foods are a lot of times the ones that end up costing more when you look at your grocery bill. So you don't really need those. You need the foods that are fresh. And you know, it's worth every penny if you happen to spend more and splurge on an organic, you know, organic apples and fresh wild salmon, and that costs more than something processed. You're making an investment that is just so worthwhile.
Are there some foods that are especially good at combining some of these nutrients so you get a pretty rounded meal in one?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I always love to have some clean protein, some fats, and then obviously an abundance of vegetables in every meal. So it depends on what your style of eating is. If you're a vegetarian, you know, a protein like quinoa is wonderful because it's complete. And if you're not, you know, something like wild salmon is wonderful. Even sardines are a great source of healthy fats. So, you know, just having a sprinkling of those different categories makes a really well-rounded dish.
Is there a best food at the top of your list, one that has the greatest impact, positive impact, and the least damage on the body?
It's hard to say one. I mean, I feel like if I were going to pick a food that I used every day, it's surprisingly, lemons are like a staple in my kitchen. I just find that, you know, a glass of warm lemon water in the morning is so cleansing, not only to your digestive tract and whatever that you were still digesting from yesterday, but it's a collagen boost to your skin because you have so much vitamin C in those fruits. And it's also very alkaline to your body, so it's going to balance all of those acidic foods that tend to be the majority of our diet. So, you know, as easy as that is, keeping fresh lemons in your kitchen is just a great tool.
You mentioned warm water. I know we had a previous guest talk about room temperature water first thing in the morning. What's the benefit of that versus cold from the tap?
No, I change this seasonally. So in the summer, it might be room temperature water. But I find that just warming up your digestive system in, during the cooler months is something that's very helpful.
We have an email here from Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. He says, I'm not sure about the term pretty, and he uses quotes here. Pretty is convenient, pleasing, conforming, acquiescing. Pretty is like nice and other non-threatening or disempowering terms. How about beauty? Beauty has guts. Beauty has power. Beauty radiates the creative power of life. Beauty comes from the inside. Beauty is the real thing that nutrition addresses. How about older women? They will not likely identify with pretty, but readily with beauty. So a case to be made on behalf of beauty over pretty from Wolfgang and Sunny Valley, which I guess would have changed the title to your book to Eat Beauty.
Which also would have worked. I mean, I sort of agree. Pretty maybe has a younger connotation, but as I was discussing and I mentioned in the book, I think pretty is different for every one of us, and it's not necessarily even just an outside thing for many of us. It has to do a lot with how you feel, and I think even older women can get on board with that. They want to feel pretty. Maybe it's a feeling they haven't felt in a few years, or they want to intensify the way they feel pretty, and so I think the term still works.
How much of any meal, Jolene, should be based on your current hunger, and how much on what you think you'll need hours or half a day ahead of you?
That's really interesting. I think I'm usually basing it on my current hunger, but, you know, there are ways to prepare. So say you have a really important event coming up or an interview or you want to look your best for something, then by all means, make sure your plate is filled with anti-inflammatory foods. You know, there you can kind of maybe get it down to a science of what you should be eating to absolutely look your best. And in that case, you can base it on, you know, what your future needs are. But for me, it's really in the moment. It's what's fresh that day and what I'm craving that day. It tends to be a signal from my body to what I need.
And in fact, the book is divided up, at least in the part where we're talking about the things to eat, by season. So you're really trying to roll with what the earth provides at that time of year.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I feel like nature inherently knows what our beauty needs. I mean, coming out of a long winter, for example, we've been digesting a lot of heavier foods. Maybe we've taxed our digestive systems a little bit. And now we have these beautiful microgreens. We have asparagus and artichokes, which have natural phytochemicals that detox our bodies. And all of a sudden, these foods are fresh and they're available to us. And we don't need to go on a cleanse or a fast. We can just eat these foods and naturally detox from the inside out. And this sort of synchronicity continues all through the year. So, for example, in the summer, you have lots of UV protective foods when you're naturally getting more exposure to the sun. And you have watermelon and tomatoes and cantaloupe, and those are very UV protective. And in the fall, we have foods that are rich in nutrients for repair from the damage from the summer. And it just continues like this all year long. And it's really a wonderful way to eat, and not only to have foods with the highest concentration of nutrients because they're so fresh and seasonal, but foods that just target exactly what your beauty needs.
All right, so off to the kitchen, we can get really specific on the kinds of foods here. For example, for dairy replacement, you recommend almond milk. Why not soy or rice?
I feel like almond's wonderful in that it has the vitamin E, which is very important for hydrating your cells and also for defense. It's a very strong antioxidant. And it's just, you know, I love the texture. I think it helps with people who are replacing milk. It's one that they find that they also enjoy.
What do you recommend for sweeteners, since obviously white sugar is off the list here?
Yeah, it's true. So I have a few Eat Pretty sweeteners in my pantry. I love raw honey. It has those active enzymes, and there's some B vitamins and minerals in there as well. I use maple syrup, which has some trace minerals, and it's also anti-inflammatory. And something like coconut palm sugar has a lower glycemic index than table sugar, and you can replace it one-to-one in your baking. So, you know, some things like stevia and molasses I use as well, but I sort of have a repertoire of sweeteners that I'll use depending on what I'm cooking. But it's just great to have these less processed sweeteners around and not even keep the refined sugar in your kitchen.
So interesting, though, but you can do one-to-one replacement for cooking. This is important because, you know, people need to be able to make the stuff they want to cook, but they're moving away from white sugar.
Yeah, and I think it's a great option. It has a nice caramel flavor that actually lends well to a lot of baking recipes that you're probably making right now.
You list bee pollen as one of the things that that you want to see in the Eat Pretty kitchen. So how do you consume the bee pollen, and what's it part of? What other foods is it combined with?
Well, this is more of an accessory or an add-on, but I think it's a great tool to have in your kitchen. You know, you can add it into your smoothies. You can sprinkle it on your hot cereals or anything, and your fruit. It's just a great complete protein source. It has 22 amino acids. It's also a concentrated source of B-complex vitamins. And for people who have allergies, as long as they don't have allergies to bees and bee venom, please don't do bee pollen if you have those. It can be great as a remedy for allergies since it has the antihistamine chemical quercetin, which is also found in apples. It's great for relieving allergies.
You're really able to rattle off hormones and other stuff like that at pretty short notice. I mean, how intensive was your training to get to where you are now?
A lot of it is beyond my training is just personal fascination and reading about these topics all the time. And also, coaching other, my clients and just kind of knowing what they're going through and what they need. These are just, foods that there's just so many amazing properties. And it's kind of a personal fascination for me that I'm always reading and trying to find out what the latest, the latest superfoods are. So, bee pollen came to me that way.
And we obviously vegetables are on the list of things to eat in an Eat Pretty diet, but any particular that offer greater beauty benefits than others?
I think we all need to just make sure we get some greens in our diet every day. And greens is a big category because each season I think it changes which ones are the freshest. So maybe this time of year we're doing dandelion greens or watercress, and in the summer maybe we do spinach and romaine. But they are so high in vitamin A, which is wonderful for increasing your cell turnover. So as we age, our cell turnover naturally declines, and we can start to see some textural changes. Maybe your skin's not quite as smooth as it used to be. So getting those greens that are rich in vitamin A helps to smooth out your skin. It also helps to balance your sebum production. So if you're a little over oily or over dry, it helps to balance your oils. And it's just wonderful for cell repair in general. So, greens are just like a beauty superfood. They've also got some great minerals in there. If you can get a little bit in your diet every day, you're going to be in good shape.
You point out a connection between good beauty foods and odors. What is that connection?
I'm sorry, you said odors?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, just in terms of cleansing your body, even things like chlorophyll rich foods, again, like greens, are wonderful for cleansing your body and reducing odors.
But the fact is that the food itself can smell pretty, it has a strong aroma when it's doing good things for you, it sounds like.
It's true. I mean, there are a lot of foods that are maybe the smelliest foods that are actually very beautifying. So we talked earlier about fermented foods, foods like sardines are rich in omega-3s and even pungent foods like onions and garlic. They're some of the best foods for your beauty. So, foods are not always pretty on the outside, but they can be very beautifying on the inside.
We had talked about eating by season, so eat what's available to you and change what you eat as the seasons change because it's better for you and the rhythm of the season there. What about by time of day? I mean, is there a particular, there are the people who think you should eat a huge breakfast, a moderate lunch, and a small dinner, and people who probably feel differently the opposite way. But,
yeah.
I mean, what are some of the things you've learned about eating pretty and the cycle of food in the course of a day?
Well, I think I really am on board with the eating a larger breakfast, but I think it also varies from person to person. So I have clients who absolutely cannot stomach a big breakfast. And if I can get them to sip a smoothie that's very concentrated with nutrition, that's about as best as we'll do. But, for me personally, I feel like having that big breakfast, my digestive fires are at their strongest in the morning. It really keeps me going, keeps my blood sugar steady, which, making sure you can do that is also at the heart of eating pretty and making sure that your aging doesn't speed up. So that's something that's very personal, and we work on according to your tastes and what you can stomach. But yeah, I kind of agree, starting out with a strong meal and then don't end with a big meal late at night. I think we've all heard this, because you're going to be using so much energy to digest those foods that your body doesn't have enough energy to do all the repairing and the wonderful healing that you get for free while you're sleeping.
Yeah, I have two words for the people who think you want to eat a lot late at night. Sumo wrestler, because that's what they do. They eat a big meal and then go to sleep.
You're absolutely right. I know. That's very true.
As you look at the various claims that come along and with what you've learned over the last few years, it sounds like you really have a pretty sharp eye for this sort of thing. Things are always showing up in Internet pop-up ads, for example, like, acai berries and all the great things they can do for you. Do you tend to approach a lot of those claims with a real grain of salt?
Yeah, I think I do. I think there's always going to be those foods that are trendy, and maybe we compare them to something that we've had in our diets for a long time. So I think of something like romaine lettuce, which seems like so passe and so blah. We don't even want romaine in our salads anymore because it's not beautiful and interesting, but it's an amazing source of vitamin A. So maybe we've overlooked it for so long. We've overlooked something like celery because it's pretty boring, but they're actually amazing sources of nutrition. Radish is another one that seems like, oh, it's been around forever, it's no big deal. But these like everyday beauty foods are just so amazing for anti-aging, and we can't forget that they're superfoods as well, even though we've heard about them before. You know, I mean, it's not to say that acai is any better because it's new.
Is there an Eat Pretty 2 on the way? I mean, is there another version of this that you can foresee coming in the future, Jolene?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'd personally love to do a food journal to go along with this to help women, you know, day to day see exactly what they need. Because it is different for everyone, but to help give them some guidance. And to be honest, when I was writing the book, there were many chapters that I had to take out just because of page limits. And I'd love to give all of those extra add-ons to people, too, in the future. So we can hope there will be a follow-up.
The book is called Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. Jolene Hart wrote it. She's the creator of beautyiswellness.com and is a beauty and health coach. Jolene, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to be here.
Good to have you. That'll do it for today's exchange. You can find more about the program and subjects and suggest a guest at jeffexchange.org. You can also find us on Facebook if you're listening in the morning. The Takeaway is coming up next. Our evening rebroadcast is followed by news from the BBC. Tomorrow, Wednesday, on the Exchange, we'll talk about the suit against the Ashland Forest Resilience Project. In our Vents Day segment, we'll talk about the California election and the aftermath of the Isla Vista shooting in California, what lessons we learned from that. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk about the Explore Oregon campaign. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer is Charlotte Duren, our student assistant, Reed Newland, today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange here on the News and Information Service of JPR. And have a great day.